From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. On Tuesday, the White House called Idaho's abortion policies, quote, extreme and backwards, unquote. The words came after the University of Idaho sent an email to its employees that said the use of public funds to promote abortion is not allowed under Idaho law, and employees that violate that law could face a felony conviction. Boise State University also told faculty members earlier this month that they could face felony charges if they violate the law. Joining us now is Idaho Democratic Senator Melissa Wintrow, who has taught at Boise State University and who also helped create an advocacy program to support victims of sexual violence. Senator, I want to welcome you back to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's really an honor to be here.
So, as Senator Wintrow, the universities are saying that employees who are paid with state funds cannot promote abortion because of a law that was passed by the Idaho legislature back in 2021. Can you tell us about the No Public Funds for Abortion Act?
Well, I think, folks are looking at that right now. Basically, that is indicated that you can't, no public funds can be used to advocate, promote, try to convince somebody to get an abortion. But I think, at the heart of this discussion is also, folks are asking questions about, can I even talk about it, right? We do know that some of the universities have cut off internships with some organizations that might do or have something involved with abortion. So that's been impactful. But I think at the heart of this is really, what am I allowed to talk about on campus, and kind of the devastating and extreme ways that it's silencing free speech, as well as for students on a college campus who are seeking, support and services, it creates a really dark place for them. I'm so deeply troubled by one, the position that an extremist legislature has put our public universities in. And I'm also confused and a little dismayed by the University of Idaho's memo that is now limiting certain kinds of contraception, which, by the way, is legal in the state of Idaho and protected under federal law.
Mm-hmm. What was interesting to me about this memo is the idea of you because you are paid by the state, you cannot, what they're saying, promote abortion. And as the No Public Funds for Abortion Act says, you can't promote it, you can't encourage it. Fair enough. With that said, though, there is an ambiguity, it seems, in promoting something and talking about it and having conversation around it. And I think that bears the question, what about your First Amendment right to free speech?
Right. I think that's really at the heart of the matter, that folks who are faculty or staff who are trying to navigate on the university campus, as well as students. And that's something that we haven't really talked a whole lot about. But as a student who applies for a public university, they're actually going there with an expectation of having access to information. And I think as a student, I would start to question being at a public university, saying that there's certain things you cannot discuss, or that there is trepidation about doing so. That my First Amendment rights as a student who wants access to information, ideas, and free thought is basically being limited now by the state legislature through a university that is supposed to be the bastion of free speech and the exchange of ideas. And I think that we're really getting into a dangerous place. This started out with, discussing an abortion ban, and we've gone from 1 month gone from abortions being outlawed to one of the state's largest universities prohibiting us, from distributing condoms to 10,000 plus student body, right? Things are moving at lightning speed, and I fear they're going to get worse, if not, before they get better. So I think we should talk about the students here and the folks who are paying, for access in a public institution for access to information. And I think it's deeply troubling what we're doing with them.
It is, and I would say that it is difficult for some people to make the leap from talking about abortion to giving out condoms, in the sense that, you know, one does not necessarily lead to the other. I mean, giving out a condom does not necessarily lead to abortion or a discussion around abortion. And I do think then, how does this then impact faculty and staff? You have taught at BSU. You know, this, as we said, this memo came out from the University of Idaho. But does it tie the hands of faculty and staff? I mean, almost in the same way that I think doctors are struggling with how to care for a patient who comes in. Where do you violate, you know, where do you not violate the law, and where do you violate the law? I mean, just by discussing abortion, are you violating the law? Or promoting abortion? And yet I don't, right. I never had a teacher who promoted abortion.
Right. You're hitting the nail right on the head, right? The amount of confusion just in the question that you had is really the problem here, right? The state legislature has written the law in a way that's too vague. And when you talk about the word neutral, that is an objective standard. How do you define neutral? And that's really what sent the chill down the spines of physicians. It sent the spine down the faculty and staff, because, you know, you may say it's got to be neutral, but who's to say what's neutral? So if I'm in a classroom discussion and some folks are discussing the topic in a policy stance, right, which the University of which Boise State says you could do, you can talk about it as an issue, you just can't advocate for. But now we're in the heated debate, which happens in class, and it should. It's a free exchange of ideas. The faculty steps in at some point to either tamp down emotions or not. Well, each student on either side of that claim could say they were violating the First Amendment rights and go after the professor. So I think what it does, without definition, it creates the uncertainty, the apprehension, the fear that would cause somebody for not doing their job. And so I think the most important thing is not to get hung up in the details of this right now, is to pull back and really point the finger at who is responsible for creating this mess. And it is the state legislature that has been dominated by extremist values and ideas that has allowed religion to take over public space. I am not against religion. I value and respect the First Amendment, and I believe everyone has the right to believe how they choose. They do not have the right to infiltrate government to impose their beliefs on the entire state. That is what is wrong, and that is what is happening. So again, you have seen the evolution of this movement over a decade or two, where my colleagues have said, just whittled away at this law, even though it stood for 50 years of precedence, whittle and whittle and whittle, to the point, and we're not talking about abortion anymore. We're talking about contraception. We're talking about making contraception illegal, which is one of the most troubling things I saw in the U of I memo, is that they are selectively saying who gets Plan B and who doesn't. Well, let me be clear to your listeners. Emergency contraception is not an abortifacient. That Plan B, emergency contraception, is legal in the state of Idaho. It is protected by federal law, by a court case in 1965, Griswold versus Connecticut. That federal law says you have the privacy to choose contraception in your relationships. Now, I am unclear of how the University of Idaho has now basically said we're only going to give Plan B to people who are raped and not the others. I don't know how they're going to come to that determination. And I think right there, they're actually in dangerous territory where they're making state law. So I understand the universities are in a bind. It is not their fault. It is the state legislature's fault. However, I caution universities from going to that extent, because it's not only probably against the law, it's putting students in the crosshairs. It is damaging. It is creating a harmful environment where where students need help and support, not, you know, tight-lipped policies that they can't reach out and help folks.
So, Senator, I know that the University of Idaho's guidance, when they talk about prohibiting birth control, like you can't give out birth control, that they went way back to a law that was dated in 1974, roughly a year after the U.S. Supreme Court said Roe v. Wade. In fact, actually goes back even farther than that. They looked at a pre-statehood law that was written in 1867 that prohibits dispensing or advertising abortion services and birth control. With that said, though, I want to go back to this No Public Funds for Abortion Act. Is there anything within that law that says you cannot provide contraception to college students at a public university?
You know, I'm not an attorney, Gemma, but I do believe what I read in that law was that it was about a prevention. You know, you couldn't advocate for anything that would prevent conception. And so I'm wondering if they're latching onto that part, which again is just an extremist radical notion, right?
Well, and we should say, I think it's fair to also say though, that since all of this happened, Republican Representative Brent Crane did tell the Associated Press that the No Public Funds for Abortion Act might need some fine tuning. And he said that the law might need to be, quote, tweaked during next year's legislative session. So it sounds to me you would agree that it needs to have some fine tuning. But I mean, even some of your Republican colleagues are now having to question, I think, a lot of the ambiguity in these laws that have been passed.
Well, Gemma, let's be clear. When I read the quote by Representative Crane, my first response, especially as somebody in a super minority position, is that we should be getting things right in the first place. And any of these abortion bans, all of them, I don't think, to my knowledge, not one physician was consulted. I have not met a police officer that was consulted. They have all been in the back room with, I think, extremist religious perspectives, and they haven't been well thought through. They had the protection of Roe, and I think that, in my estimation, what I have seen in committee are very outlandish extremist bills that do not help everyday citizens live their lives, but take moralistic stances so they can use those in elections. And now that they caught the car, and here we are, and people are coming unglued, now we're going to talk about how we have to tweak something. We could have prevented all of this. Those laws should never have been passed in the first place. They're damaging. They're vague. They instill fear. They interfere with professional medical procedures that save lives. They are damaging and getting in the way of the First Amendment, all for ideology. And those bills should never have been passed in the first place.
You know, the White House press secretary also released a statement on Tuesday that said the controversy here in our state, quote, speaks to the unacceptable consequences of extreme abortion bans, unquote. She then went on to say that our state's policies, as I mentioned, are extreme and backwards. You know, with this once again getting national attention, are you concerned that potential students will shy away from Idaho universities, that they'll think, they'll think a little bit deeper about, do I stay in state or do I come to Idaho to go to school?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. In fact, I've talked to students already who are trying to finish their education and leave. I was heartbroken to speak with a student recently who is studying to be a government teacher. And he said he loves his state, but he can't see raising his kids in a state that's so extreme and, you know, can't even use common sense, middle of the road thinking. And that just broke my heart because he's an amazing student, very smart, very grounded. And so, yeah, if I were a student, I would be looking at all of these things. And I think it will harm us in the long run, as far as gaining students in our state. If I were a student, I would be thinking elsewhere, especially, I mean, what's unfortunate about U of I, there's some schools right across the border. Mm-hmm. So I cannot stress enough how, you know, we have got to get back to common sense government, that these extremist views, instead of looking at the complexity of life, consulting with each other, trying to use government to help people, not hinder, not mousetrap and criminalize, is harming us. I feel like I'm in Nazi Germany. I have to look over my back at every stance. And that is not the place I want to live. That is not the United States of America. The United States of America respects diverse thought, free exchange of ideas, respects personal freedoms, respects religion out of government. That this is not the place. This is not the United States of America anymore. I am at a loss to see universities, selecting what kind of contraception people can be receive. And again, if I were a student, I would be really thinking hard about entering a public university and what the contract states. I am entering a public, not private institution, looking for a free exchange of ideas, not censorship.
Well, Senator, I want to thank you for coming on the program and talking with us about your point of view on this. We do appreciate it. And we should note that the Idaho Attorney General's office says that they will be holding internal meetings on how to navigate this law and what that means.
Gemma, I just really appreciate you having me on your show. And I have to say, to everyone who's listening, you can hear the intensity in my voice. You know, our state is in a bad place. I am nervous. I am scared for people. We have got to get this extremism under control. It is harming people. It is creating unsafe physical for us, as well as emotional. And we have elections coming up. And I would ask people, when they go to the polls, think about the people who are blocking and working against them in their lives, and think about the people who are helping them. Keeping government out of their private lives, from the bedroom to the boardroom, and letting them live their lives. My Republican colleagues have crossed the line for the last time.
I want to thank you again, Senator. We have been talking with Democratic Senator Melissa Wintrow about the controversy this week over Idaho's No Public Funds for Abortion Act. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.